Hi, I'm Janet Walton, co-owner of Sunspots Productions, and I wanted to welcome you to our new version of Talkin' the Talk, the voiceover podcast. Hosted by Sunspots founder, my business partner, and president of Sunspots, Tom Rowe. First, a quick introduction to Tom. He was known as Tom Cassidy, the voiceover talent, for 30 years. However, about 5.5 years ago, he went to get a wisdom tooth pulled, and within a few months, he found he could no longer speak normally and develop what's called lingual dystonia and orofacial dyskinesia. So, here we go, a voiceover talent agency and studio owner with a speech handicap, my partner at Sunspots, Tom Rowe.
Hi, thanks, Janet. That was great. Hey, I am Tom, the artist formerly known as Tom Cassidy. I started out in radio at Tallahassee's FM 99. Well, I used to talk like this.
Tallahassee's FM 99, Barbra Streisand's latest.
I gotta celebrate.
The exact name of the song. Just have some people call me up. They're placing a $10 wager.
Yes, a little wager on Barbra Streisand. Yeah. And they want to know what the real name is.
I hear that in my eyes. It's just, it's a mix of like, I'm glad I got to where I did with the business, and also shame and embarrassment because I think, oh, I thought I was good back then, which is a big lesson in perspective. Well, here's a story. I decided around in November of 2009 to get a wisdom tooth pulled that was bugging me, and it would be a good time to do it because there wasn't much of, you know, all the retail had been done for Christmas, so I thought, yeah, I can take a couple of weeks off and chill, and no big deal. So I went in, had the procedure done, and I noticed dental assistant came in and had me sign a release, and in the release it said there'd be a possibility of jaw damage or nerve damage, or something may break, your tooth may do something bad, and your tongue may fall off, and you know, you may lose your hearing or some craziness. And I remember thinking, well, this is a little odd, but I thought no more about it. Here's one lesson. If you have to have a tooth pulled and you're in the voiceover industry, have it surgically removed. Mine was yanked, and it went like this. He yanked, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he yanked, and it was terrible, and it was awful, and it was unbelievable, and I could hear things breaking, and it sounded like breaking glass, and straining, and pulling, and... Oh! It was awful. It was terrible. I could not believe the amount of pain, the amount of noise, I heard little squishes and pops and things cracking and breaking, and I knew that something wasn't quite right, but I never knew, of course, what it was. And, you know, I was okay. When I went home, it was like, well, I'm a little numb. And then a week later, I'm still a little numb. And then at Christmas dinner with the parents, my mother asked me, she said in her Maryland accent, Tommy, you sound strange. Is your voice okay? Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I just feel numb. My lip feels numb. But she said that I was slurring a little bit, which I surprisingly didn't notice. Well, that was in December. In February and March, I began having more difficulty. My jaw was out of alignment, and things went downhill rapidly. By June, we had to take me off of Sunspot's website and call all of my old clients and tell them that I no longer could voice. And that was it. I made millions over the period of time that I was voicing from 1985, 86 up till 2009. I made a few million bucks. And I'm so grateful about that. I mean, so amazingly. As a guy with low self-esteem issues, trust me, it was a big deal to get that affirmation from the money slide. It was really a shock to me to see where I had gone in life with this career. But the really interesting thing about this is that losing my career, losing my voice, going through this journey has been one of the worst things to happen to me and one of the best things to happen to me, because it brought me closer to people than I ever had been before. It's been touching to have seen the support I've gotten just from people on the internet. So year one was awful. in June, I'm kicked off the web. I shouldn't say kicked off, but I thought kicked off the web. And clients are told that I'm no longer working. And that was the end of the world, and crying and wailing and praying. And it was just, it was awful. And I sounded worse back then, too. I had this, and it was, I talk like this is about how I talk. So imagine going from where I was, and here is how I used to sound when I was Tom Cassidy, voiceover guy.
The start of college is right around the corner. Fortunately, so is Fifth Third Bank.
The Florida Panthers take on the New York Islanders tomorrow night.
Plug into low prices all over the store today at Circuit City.
Well, here's the thing. If you like what you see at AmFam.com, and we think you will.
Legend tells of a land where Christmas trees dance and candy canes grow 9 feet high.
Ooh, a donut.
When it comes to delivering your baby, nobody loves you better.
I remember stripping off my pantaloons and frolicking in the surf. Of course, I was crazy for malaria at the time, but I digress.
Are you ready for the ultimate movie rental experience?
Gillette Fusion has arrived at Walmart. The official razor of Gillette Young Guns.
Saturday night, the lights come on and the fireworks explode as Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. take to Daytona's high banks for three-wide racing at nearly 190 miles per hour.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to Fright Night. Ooh, that was scary. Let's do it again.
Your scream. It's Fright Fest at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
The Nissan X-Terra. It's everything you need and nothing you don't.
Oh, yeah!
Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. It's not home, but it's close.
You know, when I used to play that for people back in the first 2 or 3 years of this thing, I would have a PTSD reaction. I would immediately cry, immediately burst into tears or have to leave the room. It just hit me like, as I can't explain how, what the pain was hearing it. I couldn't listen to it. I could not play. I would play it and leave. I'd give somebody a link and say, play it when I'm out of the room or take it out later. But that's, I'll say, oh, this used to be me. And I don't say that anymore. It's more like, oh, this is the thing I used to do. I was very lucky, very blessed to be able to do it. And I'm still amazed at the level of success I achieved. And it, trust me, it wasn't just me that made it happen. I mean, I had a support team around me. Also in June, my dog, Buster, that I had for I think about 12 years, dies. I come up the driveway and I see Buster lying by the garage under my under this beautiful Japanese maple. And he's not moving, which is typical of him. He's just laying around catching some rays. And I get out of the truck and out of the van. I go over to him and try to wake him up. And hey, Buster, what's going on? Well, Buster doesn't wake up. And Buster is on his literally last gasps of breath. And he died in my arms, my buddy, my companion. And when Buster died, that was it. That was just the stake in the heart of this voiceover vampire that was so difficult to handle. It was just incredible. The real drag about the voice thing at that time was I couldn't even express it. I remember one of our former employees, Marty, called me, and he thought I was joking. I said, Buster's dead. Buster just died. Buster died. And I saw Marty recently, which was cool. He's a great guy. And we were joking about that. And he said, yeah, I thought you were kidding around. I'm like, no, I wasn't kidding. It was sad. And it was terrible. And I know I sounded like crap. So Buster dies in June. I'm off the web. All of our clients have been called. I am no longer making nothing from voice work. It's over, you know, and it's horrible. And probably a month after that, I thought about taking that final step to the great beyond, being a bereft of life. I thought about, doing myself in because it was just so awful. I thought, well, who am I now? What am I? Who am I? If I'm not Tom Cassidy, then who am I? What am I? And this is something that is really important to think about just in general for everybody. Who are you? What are you? Are you a salesman? Are you an entrepreneur? Are you a fast food worker? Or are you a person that is giving? Are you a person that is loving? Are you a person who is caring? Do you try to share goodness? Do you try to lift people up? Do you try to do good in the world? That was the kicker for me. I started to learn, and trust me, it didn't come right away, but I learned that what I am was not my career. It wasn't me. It wasn't how much money I made. It was me as a person, because you had to look at yourself. You had to say, what kind of person are you? You know, if you're kind of and I had turned into a real prima donna in the voiceover business, and I lost clients, and I lost respect from employees, and I did a lot of bridge burning in the past over I think the last 3 to 5 years of voicing, I had gotten pretty toasted with it, and I had the attitude of, hey, I know what I'm doing. I've done this 1,000 times. I mean, I had done 20,000-30,000 spots. You know, I would work all day. I'd work from 10 to 5 doing commercials mostly, you know, doing retail. So I had this opportunity. I had this chance to think that maybe a lot of people don't have the chance to think, and you're lucky you don't, but, you know, you have to wonder, what are you? Are you defined by what you do, or are you defined by who you are? And in the voiceover world and the acting world too, we begin to forget, it's easy to forget, that we're people who just have good voices. And we know, we may think that we're the greatest thing on earth, and oftentimes we're not. We're just people with good voices. That's all we are. But I think this thing that I've been going through, and this is my personal experience, many people get to this point, you know, in their 20s. That's why I admire what the people call the millennial generation. They seem to be there already. They seem to be grasping the realities of things a lot earlier than people my age have. So in October, I'm still up in NC at the Sunspot location there, and I told Janet, my business partner, you know what, I think I'm ready to have another dog. Well, I looked online and found this incredible Shih Tzu. Really funny thing was about the Shih Tzu, other than it's the worst possible zoo to go to is the Shih Tzu, is that the dog I saw online looked nothing like a Shih Tzu. It looked like a little dog, a little cute little terrier. And I went to see the dog, and this was at Brother Wolf Animal Rescue in Asheville, I think that's their name. So I went to see this dog. Its name at the time was Tootie. She was in a big cage with her brother. It was a rainy, dreary, you know, that, you know, those cloudy days in the wintertime up north where there's just, it's just cloud, and it's like 41, and it's drizzling, raining, and just bone-chilling cold, but not cold enough to freeze. It's just cold enough to go out and do things still. Well, Tootie the dog came over to the edge of the cage, and I put my hand in a little bit and rubbed her behind the ear. And she cocked her head, just kind of closed her eyes a little bit, and I rubbed her back of her ear and the back of her neck, and that was it. It was love at first ear rub. And I told Janet, that's it, that's her, she's it, taking her home. This was so cool. Janet was so sweet. She has been amazingly supportive throughout this whole horrible misadventure of mine. She let me hold Tootie, the dog that I later named Buzzy, from the moment that the person at Brother Wolf got her out of the cage until hours later at home when I finally put Buzzy down to go outside and do her business. We went to the pet store, got her a little cage. And some toys and a bed and the food and everything I possibly could. Even a little raincoat for her because of the bad weather. And Janet was just, she just could not have been better. I have looked at this dog coming into my life as, you know, I'm finding about religion and God and spirituality. I tend to edge on the more on the non-believer side, but when I talk about certain things, you think, you sound like a believer, buddy. So anyway, I felt like it was a cosmic, karmic gift from God, gift from the universe, gift from whatever. It was a gift. This dog was a gift, and Buzzy saved my life. I held on to that dog, and I cried at night. I held on to her and wailed. I was next to her and prayed, begging God, begging the universe, please let me have my voice back. Please let me speak again. And the dog has been with me all the time. She's been at my side, at the top of my head. I had to find sometimes when I was in bed. She would creep around and come up and sleep where it was warmest. But Buzzy's been with me through the whole adventure, from those steps of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross speaks of. It was a tough road, but I was able to hold on to that little pup and give her the love and I don't know, I can't explain it. It was just having such wonderful support. Now, if you're still with me, I really appreciate that, because I wanted to tell the story because it's important. It's important because I know that there's people listening right now who are suffering from dystonia worse than mine. I know there's people out there who are dying from cancer. There are people who are trapped in their bodies by some movement disorder. I know you're there, and your friends and family know you're there. It's going to be okay. It will get better. Whatever the journey is, it will improve. It will get better. You have to believe it's going to get better. And that's something that I did, is I believed it's going to get better. I thought there's got to be a way of getting through this thing. Now, I'll let you know that this dystonia is incurable. There's really no treatment for it other than drugs, and the drugs that I've had for it have not worked, except for one, which has been Ambien, and that's a whole nother story. If you look up Vice Media, V-I-C-E, Media, and do a search for either Tom Cassidy or Thomas Rowe on YouTube and Ambien, you'll see the little mini documentary that they did on three people around the world who were affected by Ambien in a positive way. One of them was in England, another was a guy in South Africa who came out of a coma from Ambien, and he came out and spoke to his mother. I mean, he's not speaking clearly because he had been in an accident, I think it was a bicycle accident, and had damaged his brain. Yet Ambien brought him back. With me, I'm in it as the third person in the story. You'll see the results of me taking Ambien and how much better my speech improves. And it's funny because the director, Hamilton Morris, the son of Earl Morris, the documentarian, Hamilton says in his voiceover, "And now Mr. Rowe seems to be inebriated." What that is me being happy. I'm so effing happy that I can speak normally and do all my silly voices. You know, I get to be, what I say, me again. And I'm also pain-free. Like, right now, I've been speaking to you for 29 minutes, and my jaw is killing me. I'm holding my jaw up to be able to speak. I have to put my fist under my jaw, and that allows me to talk as well as I'm doing right now, which is pretty good, surprisingly. I think people who knew me didn't know what to think. I know the staff didn't know what to think. So it was a couple of years into it, and things were still bad. I've been taking all sorts of drugs. I'd gone to the Shands Center for Movement Disorders up in Gainesville in Florida, and this was a real indicator that I was in trouble. There were four or five people in the room with me at one point. I was getting injections of Botox into my pterygoids, which are muscles inside the mouth that control the jaw going up and down, I think. And I'm getting Botox in there with these long needles that are attached to electrodes. And it makes a great noise when the... it's kind of like that. Kind of like that. After it was done, these neurologists who are gathered around me, who had come in to see what was going on, because their Shands is a teaching hospital. So there are some neurologists there and a fellow from India or Pakistan, I'm not sure which, and I don't mean to offend, but I did voices for a living forever, so I'm going to do this voice. Do not be offended. I don't mean anything negative, okay? But the doctor said to me, "Dom, you know as much about this as we do." which was kind of upsetting because you'd think, well, no, hold on a minute. I'm just I'm a simple caveman. I don't understand your ways. How is it that this uneducated former DJ, just voice guy, is told that he knows more about this condition, this medical condition, than the trained physicians do? But that's what it was, and that's how it is. And I have spoken to other dystonia patients, and they've been told, oh yeah, they tell me it's in my head, and they have no cure for it, and they don't know what to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I was even told it was in my head too, and I said, really, you think I'm going to give up, $500,000 a year to sound bad and not work like I used to? That was a difficult thing to deal with. I'm trying to think about where the big change came, but it's hard to think of one particular event that changed my attitude. But I noticed something. When I entered a store, until I changed my attitude, if I came in with the feeling of, oh, I feel like crap, I can't speak, I hate this, life sucks, I don't want to be here, that kind of thing, Well, guess how I got treated? I got the same back. I got the same vibe back from people. I started reading and listening to some self-help stuff. And one of the things I began practicing was, in my head, giving out love, in my head now, giving out love wherever I went. When I went into a store, if I went to a social engagement somewhere, which I rarely ever do or did, I would kind of put out good feelings. And I noticed that when I put out the good feelings, I got good stuff back. This was a really big deal because I, for one, never dealt with people one-on-one very often in life. Most of my life has been spent in a little booth behind a microphone and dealing with people, that way, either on the console in radio or through the headphones and the microphone in the voiceover world. So I hadn't learned certain social skills, and I'm still kind of awkward publicly and fairly shy and introverted in a way, though I'm a goofball at heart. But when I noticed, when I started giving out the love, when I started thinking more about other people, less about me, thinking about the person who is there dealing with me, what their life is like, asking them how they are, and being sincere about it, not just, going through the motions of faking being friendly, not like that, not like I was out to sell something, but having genuine love. When I came to people in a positive way, I got positivity back. This is another big lesson from this journey that I got on. Life became better in a way. The main takeaway from this is that you don't be afraid. If you are fearful of doing something different than what you were trained to do, what you learned, there is no time like the present to go and do something else. If you're afraid to love someone, don't be afraid. Love them. Tell them you love them. Hug them. If you are in pain, people who love you will understand your pain. They will be able to understand that you are hurting, and they know that, yes, your personality will change because of it, and you can work together with people to help you through that. But life will go on. Things can get better. And your attitude will determine that. That's the big thing. No one's going to come to you and make life better. Maybe my dog did. Well, there are lessons in everything if we're willing to accept them and see them. I just want to tell you that there's hope. Things are never as bad as they seem. If you have religion, then pray. If you have loved ones, bring them around you. If you have no one, get a dog, get a cat. Something will love you. And really and truly know that, I think in the cosmos, in the great scheme of things, that this love I'm speaking about it's bigger than any of us. That's why I'm not a practicing religious person. Because easy buzz. That's funny. That's great timing. But I feel like there is love. Love is the only thing there is. I feel like it's love and forgiveness. It's all we have. If we could do that with everyone we deal with, But forgive them and love them. No, you know what I mean by love. Not wacka 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 love. I mean, you know, just be kind. If we could all pull that off, what a great place we'd be in. Anyway, that's my dystonic story. Dystonia sucks. It hurts. There are people I've seen at the clinic who are, their bodies are contorted. They are in extreme pain. They can't do a damn thing. But the thing I see is that there is a spirit in so many of them that is upbeat and positive, and they do not give off what they look like. They do not, their spirits are not what they look like physically. And remember that when you see people who you look at as disabled or, you know, there must be something wrong with this person. Oh, Buzz, chill, baby. I know what's going on. Barbara's on, and I'm in my office and not in my voice booth, so we can hear everything in the house. Anyway, just know that things are going to be okay. Don't let people get you down. Don't let someone's judgment of you ruin your day, because you are special. Do not fret. Oh yeah, by the way, if you want some creative voices, if you want some creative audio production and professional voiceovers, I wonder where you could get that stuff done. The name of the company is Sunspots Productions. If you would join me on our website, I didn't push up Sunspots in this podcast because that wasn't the message. My message is really about hope and encouragement to those who are having a tough time. And by me telling you my story, I hope that it gives you encouragement and lets you know that through the internet, through the interwebs, through the internet, through that dang thing over there in that box that does all that stuff and pictures and noises and such, people will support you. Of course, our website is sunspotsproductions.com. That's S-U-N, spotsproductions.com. And I am on Twitter at sunspots_Tom. I'm on Facebook at Sunspots Tom Rohe, R-O-H-E. That's my real name. And check out the biz, if you would, if you're interested in getting some production done with professional voiceover talent who sound nothing like I do. Yeah, we don't have a pool of talent that are all, I can't talk. They do not sound like me. Remember, I can make fun. I'm the one in these shoes. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Bye. Janet, your turn.
Thanks for listening to Talkin' the Talk, the voiceover podcast with Sunspots Productions President Thomas Rohe. Please join Sunspots on Twitter at SunspotsVO and check out our website at sunspotsproductions.com. Oh, and if you need casting suggestions for your next audio project, don't forget, you can always call me, Janet, at 1-800-355-SPOTS. That's 1-800-355-7768. Bye.